Last week we began to look at the last part of the second paragraph of the church covenant, which states that we will contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. By way of review, we see that God has but one method of financing his church, financing his work, and that is through the tithes and offerings of God's people. We saw last week that a tithe, the first time the word is mentioned, is in Genesis 14 and verse 20. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 2 and verse 4 inform us that, speaking of the same thing, Abraham giving a tithe to Melchizedek, that a tithe, of course, is a tenth. An offering is that which, of course, is above the tithe. So one cannot give an offering until they first give a tithe. It's not possible. There has to be a tithe and then an offering. And the tithe is God's standard for minimum giving. So it's not something that we should be satisfied with, because it's just God's standard for the minimum of giving. If we turn over to Genesis 14, we see the first mention of the word. And as often when you see a subject first mentioned in the Word of God, you can, that first mention sets the standard of whatever the subject is, what it means. And it's no different here in Genesis 14. But we see in verse 20, "Bless the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all." The all there, of course, would refer back to the spoils that Abraham had just gotten through victory. But we saw several things here in Genesis 14 concerning the tithe, which we need to always keep in mind. First of all, he paid the tithe personally to Melchizedek. He did not send it by the hand of someone else. He personally paid the tithe to Melchizedek. And I know some people say, well, it doesn't really matter. I believe it does matter. Again, we see in Malachi chapter 3, we're to bring, not send, we are to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. So it is something that we personally do. It's to just send our tithe by the hand of another, that's missing something. It's missing. And it's something that we need to personally do. And Abraham personally paid tithes to Melchizedek. We also know that Melchizedek was a priest of God. That's significant, because a priest, of course, was God's authorized representative upon earth. And Abraham paid the tithes of all that he had to a priest of God, that is, to God's authorized representative upon earth. God's authorized representative upon earth today is his churches, and that's where the tithe is to go. If it goes anywhere else, again, it's unscriptural. It goes to the Lord's church. Now, notice in the book of Malachi again, in Malachi chapter 3, there's a very important word that many seem to overlook. But in Malachi 3 and verse 10, it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith." Herewith. Very, very important word that teaches us a standard instructs us concerning the tithe. Now, the word herewith, what does here refer to? Well, again, it would go back to mine house. Herewith, what does with refer to? It refers to the tithes. We're to bring the tithes into my house, into the Lord's house. And again, it's not send, it's bring ye all the tithes. No exception. All the tithes into the storehouse, that mine house might be full, and then herewith. That is, in the Lord's house with tithes and offerings. So Abraham paid the tithes to God's representative upon earth. We're to do the same. And God's representative upon earth, of course, is his church. And then, of course, the church has the authority to dispense of that money. You do not dictate to the church on how your tithe is to be spent. That's not giving it. You give it. And then it's up to the church to dispense again of that money. He paid tithes upon all of his increase, upon all that God had gave him that day, gave him tithes of all. Notice in 1 Corinthians 16, again, this is by way of review, but in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, upon the first day of the week, it's a specified time, let every one of you, there's no exceptions, let every one of you lay by him in store. That is your planning. You're doing something with a purpose and with an intent. And here's how we're to lay by us in store. His God hath prospered him. That's what the tithe is based on. It's based upon our increase. It's based upon how God has prospered us, and then we are to bring that to God's representative on earth, which is his church, and we're to bring it personally to the church. Now, that which we lay aside unto the Lord to bring to the church the first day of the week, in Leviticus 27 and verse 30, we say the tithe is holy unto the Lord. That is, it's set apart for God. So we take this tenth, and that's again God's standard for the minimum. We take this tenth and we lay it aside for the Lord, anticipating the Lord's day when we can come personally and give it. That's what the tithe, that's how we're to give our tithes. But we see also that not only is it based upon our increase, and this is to be holy unto the Lord, this tenth is to be the first part of our increase. All through the Old Testament, we see the offerings were the first fruits. You're not to give God the seconds. You're not to give God what's left over after you pay your bills or whatever else. It's the first thing. It comes right off the top. And I believe it comes off the top of the gross. It's off the top of all our increase. And all our increase, that includes gifts, that includes bonuses, that includes any kind of increase that we've had during that week. Anything that's increase. And we're to give off of that. And again, the minimum of our giving is a tenth. And it's the first thing. Notice in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Proverbs 3 verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. With the first fruits of all thine increase. We are to give a tenth right off the top. And again, we're to bring it to the Lord's house. We see also in Genesis 14 that after Abraham gave the tithes to Melchizedek, that he worshiped God. And again, as we said last week, the tithe isn't, giving the tithe is a part of worship. It's a part of our worship for God. It is thanksgiving. That's what we're doing. We're giving, and we're giving in thanks. We're giving, thanking God that he enabled us to prosper, that he enabled us to have some increase. And we come and we worship the Lord. And we need to do that, because I'm afraid that in our churches, that when it comes time to give the offering, that most people just throw it in the plate without any thought whatsoever. But it's an act of worship. And we ought to be thanking the Lord. First of all, we ought to thank God that we're able to give back to him. So Genesis 14 sets the standard for how the tithe is to be given, which leads us to our point. The Word of God contains very definite directions concerning how the tithe is to be given. Everything the Lord tells us to do, he always tells us how to do it also. He doesn't tell us to do something and then leave it up to our discretion on how to do it. He always tells us what to do, and he tells us how to do it. And it's no different with the tithe and the offering. Now, the church covenant states that we will contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, to the expenses of the church, to the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel. And to give cheerfully and regularly is the biblical principle. That is what is taught all through the Word of God. So this is not just something that man has come up to and put it in a church covenant. This is a biblical principle that you find all through the Word of God. Now, Paul speaks of the spirit of giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in chapter 9. And we want to turn there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And he carries it over into chapter 9 as well. And he's speaking upon the subject of giving. He's talking to the Lord's churches. He's using the churches of Macedonia has an example in giving. But notice in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, he said, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us." He says you abound in all of these things. And certainly all of those things are important. We are to abound in faith. We are to abound in utterance and knowledge and diligence and love. But then notice what he says. "See that ye abound in this grace also." In this grace also. What's he talking about? Well, what he's been talking about up to that point, beginning with verse 1, is giving. He says, "See that ye abound in this grace also." That is giving. See that ye abound in giving. You see, giving is something that we have to learn, and it's something that we ought to be growing in. And it's something that we ought to be abounding in. He says, "See that ye abound in this grace also." Again, referring to giving. So let's go back to chapter 8, verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Churches, plural, in Macedonia. He's going to use these churches as an example. He says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." So here was a church, these churches had deep poverty, but they had riches of their liberality. That is, they were very free in their giving. For to their power, or to their ability, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power or ability. That is, they gave according to their ability, and that's what the tithe is based on. It's according to our ability to give. We're to give a 10% of our increase. And that's fair and that's just. It works. And we see, but not only did they give to their ability, they went beyond their ability and were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. There it is again, the same grace also. So there's several things here in these verses that teach us about giving. Paul says that you abound in this grace also, that is giving. The first thing to realize here is in verse 5, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. True giving must be preceded by the giving of ourselves to God. No one is going to tithe like they ought to, and no one is going to give an offering, no one is going to give like they ought to until they first give themselves unto the Lord. You give yourself unto God, you fully surrender to God, you fully consecrate yourself to God, you won't have any problem with giving tithes and offerings. None whatsoever. Folks won't be looking for loopholes. This does away with, for lack of a better word, church bums. That's really what they are. I mean, they're just along for the ride. Everybody else pays the bills, and they're just going to freeload. That's a bum. And we have churches have church bums. There's also what we could call the tippers. That is, they give every now and then when they feel like they've gotten a good service. That's not how it's to work. We give tithes and offerings. We're to do so on a regular basis. And you won't have church bums and you won't have the tippers. What'll do away with that is if they just give themselves over unto God. Once that's taken care of, then everything else falls in place. But so we see that they first gave themselves unto God. So if we're going to abound in this grace of giving, this is where we've got to begin. We've got to begin with giving ourselves to God, surrendering ourselves to the Lord. And once we do that, we certainly do not want to be guilty of robbing the Lord. Don't want to be guilty of that. We see next, and we elaborated on this a bit last week, they gave willingly. We see throughout the Old Testament, the people were to give willingly. When Abraham gave to Melchizedek, he did so willingly. He did so because he wanted to. It wasn't because Melchizedek coerced him to. It wasn't because his men pleaded with him to do that. He gave it to Melchizedek because he wanted to. And you won't have any problem wanting to give tithes and offerings on a regular basis once you first submit yourself, surrender yourself, consecrate yourself unto the Lord. So they gave willingly. Notice in verse 3, they were willing of themselves. And then notice in verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. There is a readiness to will. If you want to give a tenth, nothing's going to stop you. If you are ready to will to give the tenth, no one can say, not honestly. No one can honestly say, well, I want to give a tithe, but I just can't. That's not true. That's God's method. And the problem is you need to first submit to the Lord. People say, well, you don't understand. I've got these bills. We understand about bills. Everybody here understands about bills. You're not the only one with bills. Everybody has bills. But once we give ourselves to the Lord, we understand that before anything else is paid, a minimum of 10%. And again, that is the minimum. And I believe once you surrender to God, you're not going to be satisfied with giving the minimum. Not if you surrender first to God. So there was a surrender to God, and then they gave willingly. And then notice there in chapter 9 and verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. That's willingly. As we feel led in our hearts. And again, God's not going to lead you. Someone may say, well, the Lord's only leading me to give 2% this week. No, he's not. He's always going to lead you to give a minimum of 10%. Always. Because that's his word. That's his method. So let him give, not grudgingly. That is, in an unwilling and half-hearted way. And then notice the next phrase, or of necessity. We're not to give because of the entreaties of others. We're not to give because of the pleadings of others. Why is it today that so many preachers in the religious world, they're masters at pleading and getting people to give? But why is it that they have to beg God's people to give? Because the people they're ministering to have not learned the basic lesson of giving themselves first to God, and then once they do that, tithes and offerings are no problem whatsoever. So we're not to give simply because someone has pleaded with us to do so. We're not of necessity. I feel like I have to give. It's not of necessity. It is willingness. We're to give willingly. Folks that say, well, if you don't tithe, God's going to get it anyway. I believe that. But I believe that's a wrong way, a wrong attitude in giving. Well, Lord, I'm going to give it to you because if I don't, you're going to take it anyway. Now you see you're giving out of necessity. And it's not really a gift of willingness. And the Lord blesses the attitude as well. You can tithe all you want to, but if you do so with a wrong attitude, God's not going to bless it. There has to be the right attitude also. I want to give this. It's my privilege to give this. I'm not missing anything by giving this. And we need to teach our children to give a tenth. I mean, from the time the first time they get a dime, they need to tithe on that. They need to be taught. I mean, I believe God will bless lost people who tithe. Those who do. Don't know if there are any that do, but I believe God will bless tithing. And God will bless those who give. It doesn't mean they'll never have a problem, but God will bless them. He always does. So we have to give ourselves first, then we are to give willingly and not grudgingly. We give proportionately. Again, God's standard is a percentage. It's a percentage. In verse 3 of chapter 8, he says, for to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. So giving should be according to our ability. If you make $100 a week, you're to give $10 minimum. That's the minimum. It's according to your ability. If God gives you where you make $100 a week, he does not expect you to tithe on $200 a week. But if you make $200 a week, God expects you to tithe on $200 a week. So again, it's not so much how much an individual gives, it's basically how much you have left. That's what God bases it upon. So we're to give proportionally. It is a percentage, and that's what 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2 talked about. They're to give sacrificially. It's to be a sacrifice. Notice verse 2 and verse 3. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. The churches of Macedonia had affliction. They had deep poverty. But this abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They gave in a sacrificing manner. Notice in chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now the word bountifully means unselfishly. It means benevolently, plentifully, with great generosity. And this was the example that the churches of Macedonia have given us. They had affliction. They had deep poverty. But they were still very liberal in their giving. They were still very generous in their giving. David manifested the true spirit of giving. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter 24, going along with sacrificial giving, 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24. This is David speaking to the king. And notice about halfway down, he says, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Amen. God doesn't want your leftovers. Amen. God doesn't want what you don't need. God wants the first fruits. And David is saying, God forbid that I give God that which does not cost me something. We're to give sacrificially. So people who say, well, we can't afford to tithe. Everybody can afford to tithe. Because it's not a specific dollar amount, it's a percentage. A child that gets a dime can afford to give a penny. You can afford that. Everybody can afford that. You really, I mean, when it gets right down to it, as a child of God, you can't afford not to. You want to talk about expensive? You go ahead and rob God, and it'll cost you. But notice in Luke chapter 21, we see another example of sacrificial giving. In Luke 21 and verse 4, for all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. She gave it all. Now that's sacrificial giving. You say, well, that would be irresponsible to give my whole paycheck to the Lord. Not if that's what God leads you to do. If God leads you to give next week your whole paycheck to the Lord, I'll tell you what's irresponsible is not to. That's what's irresponsible. You say, well, God would never lead an individual to give their whole paycheck. Oh, I believe he would. I believe he has. I believe he does. But again, in order to follow the Lord's leading, we have to first give ourselves unto God. And I'll tell you when many times God will lead you to give a whole paycheck is when you think you need every dime of that paycheck. And God will say, give it to me. That's what he said to the lad when he fed the 5,000. All the boy had was a few fishes and a few loaves. He said, give it to me. Give me what you have. Sometimes the Lord does that. So we have to follow the Lord's leading in giving. And again, I've mentioned this in the past. I've just found it to be true in my own life, that usually the first figure that comes to your mind, that's probably what you should give. But by the time the offering plate comes around, you've thought that thing through, and now you're going to give about a third of that. Just go with what the Lord tells you to do first. And don't try to figure it out. And God will bless. We see also they gave joyfully. In verse 2, we read the abundance of their joy. Though they had poverty and affliction, they gave in the abundance of their joy. And Paul stated there in verse 7 of chapter 9, God loveth a cheerful giver. So again, the spirit of giving has a lot to do with our tithes and our offering, just like the spirit has a lot to do with how we worship the Lord. We ought to count it a great joy to be able to give God what he asked for. That's a privilege. That's a joy. And the wonderful thing is, as he goes on and explains there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and also in chapter 9, that God blesses in amazing ways when we just give like we ought to and with the spirit we ought to give. He said in verse 8 of chapter 9, and again, keep it in the context. The context is all about giving. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good works. The context is giving. Philippians chapter 4, when Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs. He's not talking to the God robber. He's talking to the church of Philippi. And he said right before those verses, though all other churches have stopped giving me support, you continue. God will supply all your needs. Don't ever tell someone who's a God robber, a church bum, that God's going to supply all their needs. And quote Philippians 4:13 to them. That's taking a verse of Scripture out of context. That's just like telling a lost person, quoting Romans 8:28 to a lost person. Doesn't have anything to do with a lost person. Has to do with those who love God. So again, and a church, of course, would do a disservice if someone is a God robber and they're having financial difficulties, should the church bail them out? Well, that seems to be working against maybe what God is trying to teach them. So there, it's a very serious thing to neglect our tithes and our offerings. Again, Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. To withhold them is a robbing of God. But not only that, is a great manifestation of unconcern for the church of God, for the work of God. Those who rob God, in my mind, are saying, it doesn't matter to me if the church closes next week or not. Doesn't matter. Because if it mattered, they would contribute. But the truth is, to many, it doesn't matter. But we see also in Malachi 3:9, not only is it a robbing of God, but to withhold tithes and offering is to bring upon one the curse of God. Malachi 3:9 brings a curse of the Lord. And then the Lord issues a challenge there in verse 10. telling us, prove me now. Bring the tithes into the storehouse. Prove me. See if I will not open the windows of heaven. But again, that's not why we're to give unto God, so that he blesses us. If you get into this line of thought, and many times people do, okay, I'm having financial difficulties, so I'm going to give more unto God, and by so doing, God will relieve me of my financial difficulties. It's a wrong attitude. Maybe God is telling you to give more. But if you're doing it simply so God will relieve you of your financial problems, that's a wrong spirit. You do it whether God is going to relieve you or not. You do it because that's what God told us to do, to give a tenth. I've had people come to me and tell me, I tried that tithing thing, and I had more financial problems. And I've told them, I said, the reason is because you did it in a wrong spirit. You did it so you could get. And you didn't get, so you quit. It's not, again, it's not about us. It's about him. We not only have to give, but we have to give in the right spirit and right attitude. And when we do that, it is truly a thanksgiving. It is giving to God, thanking God for the blessings that he has bestowed upon our lives. So may we learn to abound in this grace also, the grace of giving, something that we learn as we go, hopefully, in our spiritual walk. Brother Jim.